we are on the lesson of studying the Bible. We had just really gotten into it a little bit, and I believe, so we'll take up. I had gotten down to what in my book is letter A, number B, or letter B, 1B, yeah. We talked about praise by David, and then as mentioned in prayer by Jesus, the Word of God as sanctification. We were talking about sanctification. We're answering the question as to why Bible study is important. And the first thing that the author suggests is that because the Word of God possesses the power of sanctification. Bible study is important for us to understand because it sets us apart from other people. Our knowledge of the Scripture and our understanding of God as we try to follow Him in our lives does indeed set us apart. Have you ever had anyone come up to you and challenge you that you're just different because you're a Christian, that you act different, you talk different? Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever done that to you? Usually, if it happens, it's meant to be a criticism, because a lot of people criticize Christianity and they criticize righteous living. And but the fact of the matter is, we are a called out people, aren't we? We have been told to set ourselves aside from the world and worldly ways. And sometimes that's easy to do, and sometimes that's not easy to do, is it? But one reason that we do that is because we have been sanctified by God and by the Word of God. And we talked a little bit about that last week, and we was talking about in Jesus' prayer, John 17, verse 17, John mentions Christ mentions our sanctification. He says, "Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth." So we can be sanctified by the Word of God. We understand that, don't we? And if we're going to be useful to God as His servant, then we indeed must understand what His will is for us. We must understand the characteristics that we need to take on as Christians. And the only way that we can do that is to study. How many of you go back to elementary school? How many of you learned the times table and you looked at it the first time? Now, the ones times table is pretty easy, isn't it? And I've got a little trick, and I'll show y'all sometimes. I'm not in class, but I got a trick for the nines times table. You don't have to know your nines times table. There's a trick to that. I'll show y'all that. So I showed it to my kids, and they thought it was wonderful. And they were the only people that could go to school and do their ninesies. So... And the teacher thought that was pretty clever, too. And so she just told it to everybody. So everybody in their class knew their nines tables. It's a little trick, and you don't have to know your nines to do it. There is a study process, isn't it? And most of us could just, off the top of our head, anywhere from the ones to the twelves, we can throw multiplication out there because we've studied that chart, and we know it inside, outside, and backwards. Yeah, it's all memorization. That's how you learn things, isn't it? You repeat it. I firmly believe in repetition. Our Bible school program is a program of repetition. If you don't have children or you've never had children in our program, you don't know exactly how it works. But we actually have a systemized curriculum here that takes children through the Bible three times, from the time they begin their studies to the time they graduate high school at various levels. And it's a very good program. And the reason for that is because it's repetition. Because, again, you know, we know that Noah built the ark and Jonah was swallowed by a whale, but we would forget that if we only heard it one time, wouldn't we? But repetition helps us to remember things and keep things on our mind. And you know, it's all part of study, Bible study. And we must study to do what? Show thyself approved. That was exactly what I was looking for. And Paul tells us that, as he was telling Timothy that, to study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, It takes study to be able to rightly divide, don't it? Most definitely. And understanding. And most folks don't. You're absolutely right. You know, it's funny that the media, politics, will use religion to their advantage. I'm gonna get on a rabbit chase right here. Did anybody listen to Obama's State of the Union address? Okay. I watched a rerun of it. Now, this is the thing that got me. He stood up there and preached a sermon about values near the end of it. And he preached how we needed to do the right thing when it come down to accepting abortion, when it come down to accepting the gay rights movement, and all of these things. And he preached these values, that this America had these good values. And if we will contend in these values, that God will continue to bless us as a nation. And I was waiting for my TV to explode. Because I thought, surely it's got to explode now. Because we do these sins, we commit these sins, and we uphold these sins, and God will bless us as a nation. And you would be surprised how many millions of people swallowed that and accepted that because of who it was coming from. Well, you know, he didn't say the word tolerance. He wanted us to accept it. And we're supposed to wholeheartedly support that choice. I didn't get the toleration message at all, because when I tolerate something, I really don't like it. I'm just going along with it. You know, that's what toleration is. Yeah, exactly. You better think twice before you follow along with it. It's just like the federal court. We're not going to spend the whole hour talking about this. Federal court ruled against an Alabama law that was against gay marriage, that refused gay marriage in the state of Alabama. And it was just like a day or two after that law was passed that the federal government knocked it down. Can't do that as a state. Most states, well, I'll say half of the states are now accepting it, and the other half are fighting against it. See, it's the South that's fighting against it. But they were knocked down by the federal courts for putting an anti-gay marriage law into effect. And it didn't go to the Supreme Court, but that's where it's headed. And I don't know how our Supreme Court would vote on that right now. It's on there, but they're backing it up. They don't want to deal with it right now. You can tell they don't want to deal with it. Obama wants them to deal with it right now because it's a liberal court right now. Who knows how that's going to turn out? I don't know. I don't know who stepped in and revoked the law. I don't know what court could step in. This was an Alabama state supreme law. And I thought only the federal Supreme Court could revoke a state supreme law. But it was not the Supreme Court that did it. I don't know. I don't understand the legality of it. But it's definite that the federal government is going to support the gay rights and not allow the states to deal with it individually. It's almost like a, I hate to say this, but it's almost like a civil war. What started our civil war, where the federal and states could not agree on who controls what. Now, that's what it looks like it's leading to, that type of battle. Verbal, and it's verbal instead of physical, right? Yeah. It get interesting before it's over with. Okay, enough of that. I chased that rabbit long enough. We must study to be useful because of the Word and what it can do for us in our sanctification. The Word of God also possesses the power of preservation. How does God's Word preserve us? Turn over to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea, I don't know how y'all pronounce it. It's always been Hosea in Alabama. I was told yesterday by a young man that's visiting in our home with Philip that Philemon is not Philemon, it's Philemon. I said, well, if that's the case, I'm going to have to start calling my son Philip. All right. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Now, if we forget God, this is basically saying, if we forget God, what's going to happen? God's going to forget us and our children. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, he would see to it that three and four generations were affected by his wrath. So, you know, this is what he's telling us here. You have forgotten the law of God. Now, if you forget something, what does that mean? At one time you had it. You understood it and you walked away from it. Now, do we ever have that happen today in the church? Oh, all the time. We have people who will, for one reason or another, walk away from God and walk away from the church and go back into the world. That's what this is talking about. You have forgotten the law of God. And as a result, God will also forget you. He also uses the word reject. You reject knowledge. You have rejected knowledge. Now, you know, when I was in school, there were kids in my class that never would pay attention. Never would attempt to do assignments. Never would attempt to pass a test. The knowledge was there. It was offered to them, and they simply refused to have anything to do with it. And all of us can think of people that we went to school with that was that way. They had no interest whatsoever in learning anything. Those are the ones that flip hamburgers at McDonald's now. That's about all they know to do is this, you know. So you have to want to learn. You have to want knowledge. You have to yearn knowledge. And I think that's what this verse is telling us. You know, the people of God should want to be like a sponge and just absorb everything from God that they can. You know, first of all, because we should understand what God can do for us. And maybe more importantly, we need to understand what God could do to us. And there's a difference in doing for someone and doing to someone. It's sort of like a doctor told Pat and I when Pat's mother was in intensive care shortly before she died. The doctor come in and she said to us, "There are a lot of things we can do to your mother, but there's not very much we can do for her." There's a big difference. So, you know, we need to understand that we need to yearn everything that we can get from God because of these two points of what He can do for us, and if we reject Him, what He can do to us. Because look here, He forgot these people, and He forgot their children. That means He had nothing to do with them. He isolated Himself from them. We don't want that. We do not want to be isolated from God. Therefore, we need to understand. Exactly. Right. Yeah? You know, there are different methods to get people's attention. You're absolutely right. I think, though, that if we are absorbed with learning God's Word, we're going to take it from anyone. Yeah. And we make it what we want it to be. I think that, you know. Just like the kids in my class when I was a kid, they didn't want it, so they didn't take it. Now, I had teachers that I could easily sleep through class. And I had one history teacher, I'm going to tell you, but he'd make you want to put on a uniform and ride the road of Paul Revere. Now, he would just really make you so motivated about history. And that's one of the reasons I'm a history buff. I love American history, and I study it when I don't have to because I love it. And he's the reason for that because he made you feel like you were right in the picture. That you saw what was going on and that you was right in the middle of it. He had that ability to do that. And I wish I had that ability. He could do it. But, you know, again, I learned from all of my teachers, and he was the only one like that. You've got to want it, you know. And we had people in his class that would sit around and do nothing. They didn't want it, so they didn't pay attention to that either. But I think these ones I'm thinking about just went because I had to. When they got to the age they didn't have to, they quit. But you're right. Social life is a great part. And that was all some people were after. All right. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have to be sure that we yearn for the knowledge of Christ. David even said that the young can even do this. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, he says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Now, why would he say that about a young person? We have no young people in here. Everybody in here has been young at one time in their life. Think back to that time of your life and answer this question. How can a young man cleanse his way? And why would he bring up the youth here? Okay, that's one good answer, because what you do in your youth will stay with you. Would you say, Mary? Okay. They start out that way, anyway. Okay, that's the point there. You know, it's sort of like first time your mom and dad took you to the fair, and you walked inside and you saw the lights on all the rides and you heard everybody laughing and screaming and having a good time. You smelled the hamburgers and the popcorn and everything there, and it was the most awesome thing you've ever experienced. You know, And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But as you see things for the first time, they catch your attention where if you've seen it over and over again, it doesn't seem to bother you as much. Young people, when they see temptation for the first time, it's harder for them to say, oh, well, I don't want that, and then turn and walk away because they're intrigued by it. And it's harder for a young person to walk away from certain sins than it is for you and me. That's true. And a lot of times we don't want to be patient and understanding with our young when they make mistakes because we wouldn't have made that mistake. Why should they make that mistake? Well, their frame of mind is different. They're seeing things for the first time. And it's harder for them to walk away from things. We need to understand that and help them. That's true, too. Good. That's great. And he's experienced something probably he's never seen before and had no understanding of before. That's great. And most people that are in that situation will be written off by society because of their mistakes. And not be given a second chance, you know. Yeah. Right. And most of them are young. Would you say? Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's a true statement. You hate the sin, you love the sinner. That's how it's supposed to be. And, you know, that's a hard lesson for some people to accept. It really is. All right. Elders are exhorted to keep the church by the word of God. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, but also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, two things that he has mentioned here. He has challenged the eldership to help see to it that the flock is given the pure word. Okay, and there's various ways that the elders do this through our Bible study system, through our activities. To keep that level of purity within the church. He also challenges us to the Word of God, that we be sure that we go to the Word of God. You know, in any situation, if you have something that is introduced to you that is questionable as far as righteousness goes, you don't need to run to someone else and see what they think about it. You need to go straight to the Word. The Word will determine whether or not an activity is wholesome or if it is pure. And that needs to be our rule of standard of the book itself. Not what Farron thinks, not what Terry thinks, not what the person sitting next to you thinks. Exactly. Exactly. You always verify that which you hear. Don't ever take it for granted. Farron has misquoted Scripture. One of the reasons, and I'll tell y'all, and some of y'all already know this, Farron don't quote very much Scripture from the pulpit. I know y'all have noticed that. The reason Farron don't quote Scripture is because Farron can make mistakes when he quotes. But I do know how to read. And I don't make mistakes in my reading. That's why you get read from the Scriptures in the pulpit and not quoted. That way I know I'm not making a mistake. And even at that, I sometimes will give out one Scripture and read out another one. I have done that a time or two. But I minimize that as much as possible, believe me. We have to be sure that what we are hearing, what we are absorbing, is the true Word of God. All right. Now, the next section of our lesson talks about the first step toward backsliding. What is the first step toward backsliding? Okay, stop going to church. Stop reading your Bible. Alright? The author here uses the little word neglect. Neglect. What happens to your automobile if you neglect to change the oil? It'll stop. Yeah. It shortens the life. Now, y'all may remember when we came here, we brought down an old, ugly Pontiac. Well, I want to tell you, I changed the oil more than I put gas in it. As long as I would put a quart of oil in every other day, that car ran great. But if I neglected to put a quart of oil in that car, buddy, she'd start clanging and knocking, and pretty soon she'd lay down. And I couldn't neglect that part of it. Couldn't afford to fix it because it cost an engine job to fix it. I couldn't do that. But I had to be faithful in putting a quart of oil in about every other day. And of course, I left half of that oil all over Albany as I drove around. It was a Skeeter sprayer, boy, let me tell you. And if you look real close, you can still see the puddle out here where I park my car now. When my car's not there, you look real close, you can still see the puddle. And that's oil from that old Pontiac that I used to park in the same spot. So, matter of fact, Jack was going to put a metal plate out there so we would catch the oil and it wouldn't get all over our asphalt. He never did that, though. If we neglect the Word of God, things are going to start happening to us. Just as if we neglect any kind of a daily duty that we need in life. If we neglect to feed the baby, can't survive, can it? If we neglect anything, that thing suffers. We can't afford to neglect God's Word. The Word of God possesses the power of salvation. And if we don't feed ourselves with that Word, then we can lose that salvation. So we must really be careful. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says that we need to receive this Word. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. Now, the implanted Word. and save your soul. If you neglect that implanted word, what are you likely to lose? The salvation. That's simple to understand, isn't it? You know, every coin has two sides. There's always the positive, there's always the negative. As long as you live on the positive side, you're fine. But if something happens, that negative side will show up. And that's what can happen if we neglect the Word of God. The Word of God is also the standard by which we will be judged. That alone should help us not to neglect it. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So, we have the words that will help us obtain salvation, and those same words, which are now benefiting us, can someday condemn us if we neglect that word. So it's going to do one of two things. It is either going to save us or it is going to condemn us. And that's why careful study of the Bible makes all the difference in the world. Now, the question is, why Bible study is often neglected? Why is Bible study often neglected? Priorities? I think that's probably the number two answer. I think the number one answer is just sheer laziness. Just like the kids in class that didn't want to open the book and study and take the test and pass, most of them just didn't care. They were just too lazy to do it. And I think it's just coming down to laziness. There are other things that is easier in life, and it's something they don't have to pick up and do. One example of that is, you know, they don't study for themselves. They don't try to put the word into their own hearts. Maybe they just take the preacher's word for it. They'll come to church and they'll listen to what the preacher has to say. Well, the preacher said this. Okay, I'll go along with that. And then go home and never really try to understand and put the word into practice. You know, preachers are a tremendous tool, and they do a good work, but they can make mistakes. Now, in Acts the 18th chapter, there was a man. He was an eloquent man by the name of Apollos, and he followed to the letter the doctrine of John the Baptist, which was not a bad thing to do, was it? In the day of John the Baptist. But when Christ came, even John the Baptist said, "Hey, you need to follow him, not me." Well, Apollos is still following John the Baptist. This is how he had been instructed, and he was wrong in what he was teaching. And so Priscilla and Aquila called him aside. I'm sorry. Aquila and Priscilla called him aside and took him and explained the way of Christ. And now he has the truth. He absorbed the truth rather than the falsehood that he had been teaching prior to that. Now, your preacher would never intentionally steer you in the wrong direction. I would never do that. But I am capable of making mistakes. Never take everything I say at face value. Always check upon the things that I have to say, because I can be wrong. Don't take this eldership for granted. Harry and I do the best that we can, but we make mistakes. Follow up on what we're doing. Don't take it for granted that we're always right. We need to go, as I said earlier, we need to go to the book. That way we will know that we are right. Right. And the reason that's true is because we can't think like God. Now, God has given us a word that allows us to think close like Him. We can't reach that perfect level but He has given us what we need to keep ourselves in line with His thinking. And that's why we need to use Bible study. Okay. A lot of people say, well, I can't get anything out of it. Well, 9 times out of 10, people who will say, I can't get anything out of the Bible, never try to put anything into it. They don't try to understand that which they read. And honestly, you can take the Bible and open it up and read something and be absolutely confused when you finish, because you didn't start at the right place and you didn't go all the way till you need to finish. You pick up a verse here and there, and if you pick up a verse here and there in the Bible, you're not going to understand what it's talking about. You have to put everything into context and understand the story. Absolutely. Some fascinating stories. Okay, that's true. Okay. Like I say, you have to put some effort into understanding the Word of God. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, he said, now that by revelation He has made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly already written, by which when you read, you may understand the knowledge of the mystery of Christ. By the way, do you know the mystery of Christ? Raise your hand if you know what the mystery of Christ is. Does anybody know what that is? The mystery of Christ is Christ died, He was buried, He rose from the dead. That was the mystery that Paul revealed to the Gentiles. The mystery that the Gentiles could have salvation just like the Jews. That's it in a nutshell. There's nothing any harder to it about it. And we look at that, oh, the mystery, it's like the book of Revelation. Y'all sit through my Revelation class. Revelation's not near as hard now, is it? Because we looked at it from a simpler form. You know, people will make something hard out of something simple. You know? And we take the Word of God and try to make something hard out of something that God never intended for it to be hard. You know, and we listen to all the Bible scholars, and they'll talk about all the different variations of language and the dialects that are used in putting out these words, you know. Huh? God didn't mean for us to have to go through all of that. Not at all. He made it simple for us to understand. All we have to do is just read it. It's not engineering stuff, folks. It's not hard to figure out. Some people just put forth very little effort to understand it. We will take up at this point next week where it says in your book, it should say somewhere, some say they don't have time. Boy, I'm going to shoot that one out of the water.